Hey ladies, it's me, and I'm really excited to dive into chapter 7 in Fervent, where Priscilla Schreier goes over purity. And this is a tough chapter. I must, you know, just admit, I wondered how she was going to tie everything together scripturally and just talking about this topic, which is really sensitive to people when it comes to purity and sins and different things like that. So this was a hard topic, I think, for her, but she is such an amazing writer and such an amazing visionary when she describes her different stories about this particular chapter. So I'm really excited about it. We're going to dive right in, and then I've got some announcements at the end. And so I loved how she began. First, let me read the very first paragraph. This is what she says. If I were the enemy, I would tempt you towards certain sins, making you believe that they are basically, even biologically, unavoidable. I'd study your tendencies and provocatives until I learned the precise conditions that make you the most likely to indulge them. And then I'd strike right there. Again and again, I'd wear you down, because if I can't separate you from God forever, I can at least set you at odds with him for the time being. Now, this makes me mad. Like, almost, of course, putting your fighting gloves on and saying, okay, enough is enough. Because the enemy can't, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, the enemy can't take that away. But he sure can put you in environments and places for you to not make good decisions. And she uses the quote, don't touch that, can't touch that, can't touch this. Reminds me of MC Hammer. But she does talk about, you know, don't touch that, don't touch that. And she describes this, you know, you've got kids and they're, you know, touching the hot stove, or they're, you know, about to do something that's going to hurt them. We immediately, don't touch that, don't do that, don't touch that. You don't know where that's been. I'll never forget when we were walking. I can't remember. I think we were at the park, and there was like gum on the ground. And of course, my 2-year-old at the time grabbed it, and I was like, no, that's gum. You don't know where that's been. It's so gross. And that is exactly how she describes how the enemy entices us when it comes to sexual sins, or, you know, dealing with your purity. She talks about, you know, I'm not your mama, but I do think you as a friend. And so when it comes to the enemy's specific, strategic, most enticing temptations against you and your purity, I hope you'll imagine me as a blur coming up fast in your peripheral vision, calling out to you, don't touch that. You don't know where it's been. I can guarantee you any sin in your life, it doesn't matter if it's a purity sin, or if it's, you know, you're lying, or you are, you know, whatever your sin is, you know, maybe you're addicted to alcohol and things are just starting to consume your life over God, and you are sinning in your life. I can guarantee you that that comes from the enemy. The enemy is wanting to steal any kind of joy. He's wanting to get you in places for you to fail, to fall, and he wants to keep you down. Now, here's the thing. None of us are ever going to be perfect, because Jesus is the only one perfect. And the reality is we are always going to sin. We were born into a fallen world. We are fallen people, period. We're always going to sin. But there is a way for us to have a relationship with Jesus so close that we feel conviction of our sin, and that we turn our ways and we work really, really, really hard to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And so she gives us the exact example in Luke 4:13 on your worksheet. That's the very top scripture that I have. And she talks about when Satan tempts Jesus. Now, I love this, because here's the thing. Jesus came to this earth as man, just like me and you. And he experienced life just like me and you, even temptations from the enemy. Now, we get temptations from the enemy. We can't really see the enemy, but we know he's working in our life. Well, Jesus, you know, saw the enemy. He knew what was going on. And so I want to read to you in Luke 4, you know, the temptation of Jesus, just a few things. And so what happened was Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. He was being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. I mean, I can't even go like 2 hours without eating. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm dying. I can't imagine. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now I want to show something here. When Satan tempted Jesus, he wanted him to turn. It's like, prove yourself. Like, prove yourself if you're truly the Son of God. What does Jesus do? He replies by scripture. So do you see how if we are going to live a life like Jesus and be, you know, he modeled it for us by living a sinful, perfect life on this earth. Now, we're not supposed to be perfect because we physically could never do that. But he's giving us examples of how he was put in a situation where Satan was tempting him. And what does he do? He gives scripture back to Satan. He says the scripture, and it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, meaning I only need God in my life. I don't need to convince you or to turn that into bread. Because, you know, we don't live by bread. We live only by God. And that's what's so great about this book with Fervent is because we're learning prayer strategies. We're learning how to pray scripture. That's exactly what Jesus did. Then the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment in time and said to him, I will give you all the authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He quoted scripture. Do you know what excites me about that? Is as I go through the rest of this session, the rest of this talking about purity, we've got to get our prayer strategies because we're going to be tempted in this area in our life and all the other areas in our life. But our armor is scripture. That is our armor. And we have got to know the scripture just like Jesus. So he took him into Jerusalem and he set him on a pinnacle on the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and he'll guard you. On their hands, they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. So I want you to fall down from this thing and let the angels capture you. But Jesus said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, see, every, that's an important word. It wasn't just one. It wasn't just two. Every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So he knew that Jesus was in a desperate state. He was exhausted. He was hungry. He had fasted. He had prayed in the wilderness. He truly depended on God for any kind of need because he didn't have his essential needs met. When it comes to food and water and things that we need to stay alive, he only had God and the Holy Spirit. But what happened is the enemy knew that he was in a weak state. So ask yourself, you know, question number one, do you recognize this sin in your life? And I can guarantee you that if there's any kind of purity or sexual sin in your life, the times that you're the weakest and you feel the weakest, those are the times that the Satan's going to tempt you the most. It's not going to be those times then, you know, you're in the Bible and you're learning your prayer strategies for this particular chapter where you feel the weakest. But what's going to happen is you're going to go throughout your week and the enemy knows what you're doing, right? He's going to put you to test just like he did Jesus. And he's going to put you in a position where you're going to have to choose this sin or your prayer strategy. And so that's what we're going to do is we're going to dive into scripture and learn how to combat this particular sin. So do you recognize the sin in your life? Is there some type of sin pattern? And the reason I use pattern is it's important to know that pattern, that the enemy will use this pattern of sin. And the question number two, if you've ever felt disconnected with the Father, trace your patterns back. Were you living in sin? Now, this is not necessarily a sexual sin or have to deal with your purity, really just any sin, like any sin at all. What did you have a pattern of sin in your life? Pattern of lies or, you know, all those things. Were you not living biblically? Were you not living the life that, and you know when you're not doing something or when God gives you that conviction. Because if you ever felt disconnected to the Father, more than likely, you're choosing sin over scripture. And so trace those things back. And it says on page 122, sin has consequences, always has and always will. Keep the revelation fixed squarely in your mind, because whether we like it or not, here's how the spiritual economy of life works. Obedience to God garners intimacy and nearness, divine blessing and favor, always. And disobedience creates a sense of distance, loss, grief, and regret, always. Sometimes the consequences of caving to that temptation are practical and tangible, changing your daily experience drastically enough in certain cases to fundamentally affect the rest of your life. But no matter how immediately noticeable the cost, the ripple effects of sin always affect your connection with the Father. And this is exactly what the enemy is hoping for. So if you're choosing sin over Scripture and you know you shouldn't be doing something, that is going to be a complete disconnect to the Father. That's gonna disconnect you. Now, we know the second you open up the Bible or you get on your knees and you ask for forgiveness and you ask Jesus that, you know, just forgive me. I'm so sorry for you know, diving in and being tempted and diving into the sin when I know it's wrong. The Lord's going to forgive you. He is merciful. Every single morning is a new day. His mercies are new every day. His grace is washing over you. I'd said on the last, I think on the last video, or maybe it was another chapter, I already said without sin, there wouldn't be grace. Without grace, there would be no need for him to die for us. So he died for us and he rose again to give us grace. So we're always going to sin, but we don't need to live in sin because we don't want to have a long time where we're completely disconnected to our Father. There is consequences. You're going to have a ripple effect in your life, whether it be positive or negative. You're going to go out and you are going to be either a difference maker in someone else's life, or you're just going to be someone living and just be someone negative in someone else's life. You know, you have to ask yourself how you're living your life when no one else is watching, because that's what matters. If you're out putting your highlight reel on Facebook and you're out and you're out in town and you're slapping that smile on your face and you're doing what you need to do in front of people and you're walking into a church, but you don't leave that church changed and you go right back into your habits and your sinful nature, ask yourself, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the outside world thinks of you. What matters is how you're living your life when no one else is watching. When you are at home and you are tempted, or you're at home and you've got 20 minutes of time where you could either dive in the Word, check Facebook, pick up the phone and call a friend, you know, you have a decision to make. Are you going to grow your relationship with Christ or grow your relationship with Facebook? Are you going to be tempted by sin, or are you going to start tapping into those prayer strategies and using the armor of God? These are some things that you really need to think about. Number three, how can you activate your spiritual radar? I absolutely love this. And that is on page 124. You and I must deliberately strategize in prayer for the daily ongoing protection of our purity. Prayer keeps us on guard, our spiritual radar, sensitive to the enemy's ploys and clever decoys. Without the close contact with the Father, we become convinced that our careless behavior, our decisions, our habits, our general sense of what qualifies as worthwhile entertainment is somehow okay. It's not that bad. Or we're doing it in private. Yet, all the while, the enemy's carefully crafted options of impurity chip away at our spiritual reserves and effectiveness. The devil's strategy is to make us believe impurity is, well, it's just normal. It's what society does. The world has changed. That nobody's hurt if we keep a few forbidden things on hand or enjoy them from time to time. No big deal. But if we're steadily engaged in fervent prayer with our strategy counteracting his strategy, we would see in a snap that unrighteousness is not no big deal. It's a house of horrors. It is a totally upside down way to live. And the way she described this was, she said she had a canoe, a boat, and every so often her kids and her would get on this boat, but it would always be, you know, turned over upside down so that way, you know, it wouldn't fill up with water if it rained. And so each time they went on this boat, they would have to look under it because sometimes there were snakes and things like that. So what happens is when you have a boat upside down and it gets like murky water and it's, you know, it's the perfect environment for snakes and lizards and spiders and, you know, creatures that we particularly don't like or we definitely don't really have a desire to hang out with, right? And so those are the things that I want to kind of touch on. Because here's what happens. When the enemy makes us feel like that what we're doing is okay, even just a little bit or sometimes or anything like that, then what happens is we're creating environments for the enemy to live in. See, the enemy doesn't have to tempt you and come back to tempt you. He only has to do it one time, but as long as he creates an environment and gets underneath some things in your life, he's good. He can go on to the next thing or the next person because he's got you trapped into sin, kind of like bondage, like chains. He's got you trapped. He's living under there. He's an evil creature that slimes in and out because he's created this environment. He can come in and out when he wants. Ask yourself, do you have those kinds of sins in your life? Because guess what? We all do. We all do, every single person. And if they tell you that they don't, they're liars. I have sins. My boys have sins. My husband has sins. All these women on Beautifully Designed Ministry, all these women that are hearing this podcast, we all have those sins. None of us are perfect. But ask yourself, where in your life have you allowed Satan to get comfortable, to have that environment? By putting yourselves in environments where you know you could get yourself in trouble and be tempted. He loves to do that. He loves to give you those things. So you have got to be on guard. Number one, ask for forgiveness. The best thing about Jesus is that he loves us in spite of us. See, we can come to him with an unclean heart. He's the only one that makes it pure. We can't come to him with a clean heart. It's physically impossible. Because we're all sinful, we're all dirty, we're all selfish. Anything good about us comes from him. So just get on your knees and say, all right, Jesus, I have allowed Satan to, I've been okay with living an upside down life and I've been okay with being tempted and living in the sin or, you know, I need forgiveness or just forgive me. Wash me white as snow. Read Psalm 51. Wash me white as snow, God, and he'll do it. And you can open your eyes and feel renewed, refreshed, with a hopeful spirit and a hopeful heart. And know that his mercy and his grace and his love has just washed over you like a shower. You know, just like you get in the shower to get clean, you are clean because of him. And the next time you mess up, you can do it again. But I want to encourage you, before the next time, there will always be a next time. Because it's just never going to go away. That's going to be life until we all are in heaven with him. So until there's a next time, you have a choice, right? Between now and the next time we mess up. Because we're a beautiful mess. It's just the reality. Get some prayer strategies under your belt. Get that spiritual radar and say, you know what? I've seen this pattern. It is time to change. And so I want to encourage you guys. Unrighteousness disrupts our peace. If you want that peace in your life, it is time to get our prayers down because not only does our prayer deflect the enemy, our purity deflects the enemy. So I have told you multiple times on these videos and podcasts that I'm very competitive. I want to win at everything and anything. That's why I refuse to go to CrossFit with my husband because I'm not in shape right now. And he would go and murder me on that board and he would be number one. And I can't even stand to just watch that happen. Because I like to win. Like it's seriously a disease. I like to beat my kids. Like my kids are 7 and 4. I don't let them win at games. Like, no, they got to work hard. If they're going to beat me. They're going to beat me fair and square. And I won't let that happen. And unfortunately, my boys got the same traits. So you should really pray for them. With that being said, we're not going to let Satan win in our lives. You see, we're going to flip that canoe over and say, get out of my life, Satan. Say those words. There's power in Jesus' name. Sometimes we don't know what to say and we think we have to craft it with a pretty bow. Speak it. Speak it. Satan, get out of those crevices in my life that I have allowed you to be in this environment. I've allowed you to tempt me in this area of my life. Satan, get out. You are not welcome here. I pray that the Lord will wash me clean, forgive me of my sins in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Or just say, in Jesus' name, forgive me. Satan has no room for me. So between now and the next time we mess up, let's all go to God and let's all do it together, because we're all filthy rags. And so number four, has the enemy schemed you into that? And if he has, I'm giving you that solution. I love the scripture in Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You see, we all have a very specific calling in our life, and it's so different for everybody. He's given you and gifted you skills and positive things for you to go out and live your calling. Maybe you are like my sister. My sister is an amazing businesswoman, like the smartest woman I know. Like, seriously, she's amazing. She could start up a business and it be successful in like 6 minutes. The Lord has gifted her. She's very smart. She's got wisdom. She's good with numbers. I don't even know how to add. You know, I look at my husband, photographic memory. He's very orderly. He's very organized. You know, and I could look at them and look at myself and say, golly, I don't even know how to add. I have to use my fingers and toes. And I am not organized at all. Like, organization to me is just sticking it in the junk drawer. Okay. I could look at that and say, wow, I'm just not like that. But what if we stopped looking at everyone else's gifts and everyone else's talents, but we focused on us and what God has called us to specifically do? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What are your gifts? What are your passions? What do you love? Do you love people? I hope you're doing something where you can love on people. Oh, you know, that is my gift. I love to be around people. I love to hang out. I hate to be alone. I love to hug. I love to just be, you know, I love to be an encouragement to other people. And then I love friendships. I love those things. I'm good at talking to people. That's a gift that I have. And I get to do that with my job, and I get to do that with my ministry. The Lord has a certain calling on my life, but the Lord has a calling on your life. And I want to give you an example. There's two beautiful friends that I know in Middle Tennessee named Stacy and Lori. And they both had a heart for fashion and clothing and jewelry and different things. And I don't know how they met, but they met up. This is such a cool story. And totally had the same vision of opening up an online boutique. And they just met over, actually think Lori put Stacy on Beautifully Designed page and bought her the What Women Fear book. And they were going to do What Women Fear. That's the study we did before Fervent. And they just connected. And the Lord brought them together for a very specific purpose. Now, not only have they opened up their boutique, which has amazing things in it, because I have a tank top. I actually ordered these earrings from Lori. You need to check out their boutique. I'll probably, you know, you got to check it out. I'll post it on my Facebook page so you can look at it. Cute stuff, affordable stuff. But they're using it for a ministry. They're going to have devotions. They're going to connect with people. They're going to pray over people. They have a blog that they just started. And this blog is going to be a ministry for people to not buy clothes, but to see the Lord through what they're doing every single day. You see, they're living the calling that they have received. And so maybe it's not opening up a boutique or changing jobs or doing something dramatic. Maybe it's just you focusing on your strengths and not your weaknesses. And maybe it's you lifting that canoe and saying, enemy, leave. It is time to walk out my calling, regardless of what people think, regardless of what people say, even my own negative self-talk. I want to be in the Word, and I want to be obedient. I have so many of you that started Bible studies that's birthed from this ministry, that's gone out and you're speaking the Word, you're praying out loud, you're lifting your hands in worship, and you're doing all of these things new, and you're getting uncomfortable, and you're growing in your relationship with Christ because you are living a life worthy of the calling that you have received. So write this scripture down on a piece of paper, stick it on your forehead and look in the mirror, or just stick it on your mirror, either one will work. And I want you to pray these prayers. I loved Romans 8, 1 and 2. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has set us free. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. For you were continually straying like a sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. You see, he is gathering his sheep right now as the shepherd of our hearts. And he is gathering our sheep and he is stripping those things that are not of him. And he is growing us up into beautiful blooms. His daughters are rising up from the ground. It's springtime. Don't you love it? Don't you love to watch the tulips come up and the beautiful flowers? And thankfully, I have a husband that has a green thumb that's just like his mom. And our gardens are beautiful. Our flowers are gorgeous. That is exactly what we are. We are blooms on the ground, and we are stripping the weeds, and we are getting rid of things that are not of him so we can grow in him, so we can live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. That is the purpose in your life, period. Don't get wrapped up in, do I do this? Why don't I do this? Who do I talk to? What do they think? What do they say? No. You focus on growing your beautiful blooms so you can go out and be a difference maker in your life. And so I hope that you guys love this chapter. I'm going to pray for us real quick. And then I've got a couple of announcements. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to just be real with each other and just to admit that we are all sinful. Lord, I'm sinful. I'm very sinful. And I thank you for putting to light those things in my life that are dark, those things in my life that, you know, that need to be put to light to where I can come to you and you can wash me clean. Lord, we are all just beautiful flowers waiting to bloom, waiting to live out our purpose, waiting to grow in you. And while we wait and as we grow in you, I hope that we are always reminded that we need to learn scripture, that we need to continue to write our prayer cards, and we need to continue to read those and get our spiritual radar aware of what is going on around us. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that there are just bondage gone, just chains broken, that we as women start to recognize the areas that we need to cut off and that we need to stop allowing Satan to come in on those times and making environments and making just his home in our life. Lord, it's time to get competitive and not let the enemy do that in our life, but that we rise above and we speak your name in those areas. In Jesus' name, I pray that these women rise above all that. We thank you for the opportunity that we can come to you and you forgive us and you love us in spite of us and you give us free grace and free mercy and that every morning is a new morning. Psalm 30 says, joy comes in the morning. I love that scripture. It's one of my favorites because sometimes before we go to bed or at night, we feel this darkness, which is the enemy. But we know that all we have to do is open up our Bible, read our prayer cards, come to you, get on our knees, Lord, and you will give us peace and light and comfort. And we wake up in the morning, Lord, that we focus on what you have for us and we walk the calling that you have given us. And we thank you that we have a purpose. We thank you that we're just not walking out just aimlessly, not knowing what we're doing. But we know that all we need to do is focus on you. And we just thank you for that reminder in this chapter. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I hope you saw my special announcement and you have subscribed to my podcast. Please go to beautifullydesigned.com and click on podcasts and join me or go to iTunes or your iPhone app under podcasts and type in Beautifully Designed and subscribe to us. I have a series going on right now. You'll get to listen to Fervent is recorded there in an audio version. And I have a fun little series coming out. And I am excited about talking about things that people don't talk about and kind of shining into light some things that that I have on my heart. And it's going to be fun and there's going to be things that are serious, but the reality is I've got lots and lots of things on my heart that I'm so excited to share with you. And you can listen to it anywhere. All you have to do is hit play anywhere you're at, and you can get encouragement. You can get some extra hope. You can get some extra, just some light in your day, and some scriptures there. So I'm super excited about our podcast. We also have more exciting announcements coming. So stay tuned on the Beautifully Designed Facebook page. Please add your friends and family on the Beautifully Designed page. Let these women know what we're doing so they can be a part of it. Make sure you share some things on Facebook and add them in there. And we will be sharing and showing you our next study that we are doing after Fervent very, very, very soon. So hang tight for all of those special announcements, and you guys be blessed.